Welcome to the Entrepreneur's Trip Podcast with XTC. I'm Shalonda.
I'm Tristan.
And I'm Chris.
As an entrepreneur starting or growing your business, you may have a destination, but the journey getting there can be a trip. We want to be your travel companions and inject a dose of XTC as we explore real-life conversations about navigating the world of entrepreneurship in the U.S. and the Caribbean. Come take this trip with us. Hello, trippers. I am so excited. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Doing well, doing well.
I feel like I'm tripping already.
The extent of you guys' excitement and enthusiasm is so indicative of two introverts. Don't worry, I'm an imposter extrovert. I put on this mask when it's time for me to engage and communicate with other people. But that's really what we're talking about in this episode. It's about networking, right? And in this series, we're talking about how networking is really niche working. N-I-C-H-E, working. And if you look at it from two different perspectives, it'll make a little bit more sense. So niche is having a specific area of focus, right? And where you can network. Or niche could also pertain to the person and the way in which they like to network. So joking around with my two fellow introverts, right? As an introvert, we tend to become overwhelmed with being in large crowds and being around a lot of people. It doesn't mean that we're antisocial, which I get a lot. Or I being reserved is a nice way of people saying it. But as introverts, when we get into large spaces, we usually need a little bit of time to observe, a little bit of time to process, and then come up with a game plan as to how we're going to move forward, which is a drastic contrast to my friend Dwight, who is with StrengthFinder a woo. So he's always winning people over. He's an extrovert. He loves large gatherings. The more people, the better. And he's energized by it, right? Neither one of them are bad. They're just two different approaches. And when you look at those two personality types, that means how they engage in networking or niche working, as we're calling it, it's going to look very different, right? Because when people think of networking, they usually think of the person who is outgoing and charismatic and love being around people. Yeah, that's usually the characteristics of an extrovert. So I wanted to share with you guys, you know,
I have to laugh. Because you're like, that's usually the characteristics. And I was like, of the introvert. In my head, I'm like, of the introvert. Yep, that's exactly what they look like. They're going to be out there. They look, oh, yeah, that's Shalonda's mask. That's Shalonda's mask.
And the only reason it's so funny because, you know, most people would say, okay, if you're such an introvert, why are you doing a podcast? Right. Why are the three of you guys doing podcasts, right?
Because we're just talking to each other.
Yeah. You know, like what we said in the last, what I said in the last episode, if I think of all the people who are listening, I might just shut down for a second, but we're not going to go there. I'm just having a conversation with my bros, right?
Exactly.
And so we hope to impart some really good information to folks, particularly entrepreneurs. But when we think of networking, did you know that over 80% of jobs are found through networking and not necessarily based on what is posted?
Well, did you know that? Unfortunately, I believe it. And the reason why is, Chris, because we live in the Virgin Islands. And as of right now, it'll be a lot of anyone you know is who you know, a.k.a. your network. So I could believe that 80%.
And I will tell you, it's not just in the Virgin Islands. It's not just in the Caribbean. It happens all over the world. Because the fact is, people like doing business with people that they like. I will be completely transparent. When I lived in Minnesota and I lost my job, I was in job transition for 11 months. How many of you can survive without a paycheck for 11 months? Not many people, right? So at that point in time, when I was looking for a job, believe you me, as much as I hated networking, I was networking every single week. I was applying for jobs. I was going to job fairs. I was going to networking events, and it was extremely exhausting. Imagine an introvert networking every day for 11 months. Let me tell you, I was thank you, I found this job so I don't have to talk to one more freaking person other than the people them that I don't walk with. You know what I mean? It's a lot. But when you're an entrepreneur, if you don't do that networking and you're not meeting people, you may not get your next gig. You may not get your next big project. You're not going to be able to grow your business. So that 80% when it comes to job seekers is as relevant to job seekers as it is to people who are entrepreneurs.
Tristan, you had mentioned it's not what you know, it's who you know. But I've actually, and to Shalonda's point, though, I've heard it as it's not who you know, it's who knows you.
Yes.
Yep.
And so it's funny because as an introvert, I think how we networked before COVID was a little bit more uncomfortable for us than when we were networking during COVID, right? Because we had the computer screen to be able to filter, and how we're going to do it now that we're hopefully coming out on the other side of COVID. It's more of a blended approach with how we're going to do that networking. But I wanted to ask you guys a couple questions because I found this article on Insider, and it talks about this book by Michelle Tellis Letterman. Okay. And she's the author of the 11 Laws of Likeability, Relationship Networking, because people do business with people they like. So here's just a few of the questions. So Tristan, when a new person wanders over to the group you are speaking with, what do you do? Uh-huh. A, nothing. B, shift your body to give them room in the circle, make eye contact or smile. C, wait for an opportunity to ask them their opinion and bring them into the conversation. Or D, stop the conversation and welcome him or her in.
I was going with C.
You're going to go with C. Wait for an opportunity to ask them their opinion and bring them into the conversation?
Yeah, because because when it's me, like, I hate, like, playing the fly on the wall or passing by a conversation. I don't want you to, like, just pull me into the conversation. Like, everything stops and, like, hey, Tristan. Like, damn, now I got to talk to you. Like, what if I really don't want to talk to you? Like,
but unfortunately, if a new person approaches the group, if you're in a group, if the three of us are talking, say, for example, and a new person approaches the three of us.
They get wigged. They get weird. We're over here talking about networking and you show up like I want to feel like I'm giving you enough information that you can now contribute to the conversation, as opposed to now it's like boom, you come and it's like I'm putting you on the spot, for me that's what it is. I don't want, like, I just don't want to be on the spot, like, we're just working in, you know. So
what about you, Chris, what would you do?
I forget the lettering order or what have you, but I do kind of open, I think it was like B or what have you, where you kind of like open yourself up, like body language, to allow the person in. I won't, if I'm in the middle of a conversation, I won't necessarily stop that conversation, to, you know, put them on the spot or make that introduction, but I will, I guess, through body language, like if you're trying to enter the group, I know what it's like to be on the other side of that awkwardness. So I, you know, do unto others as you want done unto you. So I open up and just kind of make the circle a little bit bigger. And then when they have an opportunity to interject, or if the conversation that you are having gets stale, then you can kind of bring them in. So
that's really interesting. What about that at six? It's interesting how we look at it differently, because I was at a networking event in Orlando the other day, and there were some people that I knew, but there was quite a bit of people that I did not know. And so when somebody approached the group, to your point, Chris, we opened it up. But as soon as there was a moment of pause in the conversation, I felt compelled to say, hi, how are you? What's your name? And then I did the introductions to everybody around the group, because for me, if I approach, it's hard enough to approach a group and then be standing there twiddling my thumbs as people are having conversations. And it's almost like, yeah, I'm part of the group, but I'm not part of the group.
Right.
You know?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like I'll die, though. I feel like I'll die, though. Like that's the moment where I'm like, like, so the conversation kind of died down. Like, that, here's where you ease out. Yep. She's pulling me in.
I mean, I think it takes bravery to approach the group. So there you go. Here's one more. What percentage of the new people you meet do you follow up with? A, less than 25%. B, 26 to 49%. C, 50% to 74%. Or D, more than 75%.
Who are you throwing, Chris?
Whoever wants to take it.
I'll jump in. When I meet somebody new, I think it's A. I realize that I should be following up with everybody, because not every first conversation tells you exactly who that person is, or you know, how you could interact or benefit from each other's network. But I would say generally, as an introvert, I kind of lean more towards the people who I had that stronger connection with, or felt that there was a stronger opportunity for some kind of collaboration. So I do find myself, unfortunately, in that situation where I follow up with very few of the people. I mean, granted, if they reach out to me, you know, exchanging cards and stuff, I'll certainly connect to those people, because then obviously they've showed an interest if they were beyond that 20% or whatever. But yeah, it's I need to get better at engaging more people to open up that network a little bit more.
Tristan, you shaking your head. What?
Because now I don't feel like I'm an introvert.
how many people do you follow up with? What percentage?
Everybody. Like, God as my witness, is everybody. So what ends up happening is, like, we might have that conversation. Once there's exchange, then that's it. I've met people here on Island. I did, like, a... Well, I work on different projects with people from the States, and down to getting hot sauce. I was following up with a guy because we had a conversation about hot sauce. The next day, I was like, yo, homie, I got like these two bottles of hot sauce. You want to try this out? Boom. But like, that's just it. And I think it goes more based off of what we're talking about, like the business and just earning that bread. Like, this is how we make our livelihood from these networks. So I guess that's how it is. I make myself stand out. Is whatever it is they might have had, or something like, you just want to know where to go, or whatever it is, I reach out. Like, you know, you spoke about going to the beach. I'll check this beach out, or whatever it is. Check this out. Boom, boom, boom. And then I'll still follow up later on in the day and be like, how'd it go? And it's like that's just me.
So it's interesting, because I think I'm more of a moderate. So one of my pet peeves is if I meet somebody and they're like, hey, we should follow up, and don't say that. If you're not going to follow up with me, don't waste my time. So how I usually do it, which is interesting because it works more on the mainland than it does here in the Caribbean, is that if I go to a networking event and I connect with somebody and there seems to be some type of synergy, but there needs further exploration, I'll be like, hey, are you on LinkedIn? Let's connect, right? And so I would connect with them really, really quick on LinkedIn, and then I would follow up. But here in the Virgin Islands, I say, hey, are you on LinkedIn? LinkedIn? I don't do LinkedIn. Yeah, I don't have Facebook.
And I'm the worst one for networking.
Okay, this is interesting, because before, I was very selective. Facebook was for family and friends. Mm-hmm. LinkedIn was for professional. And now that I'm doing the back and forth thing, it's kind of blended, right? But to the point of the whole conversation is, regardless of how you network, you need to do it in a way that's comfortable for you, right? And in a way that's going to reap the benefits that you're hoping to reap, while also making contributions to those people that you network with. So for example, one of the biggest pet peeves I have is if I connect with somebody and I don't hear from them for 4 years, and the first communication I get from them is they want something. You got a wrong number. Right.
You're coming in Saturday.
Yeah, you're breaking up. You have been disconnected, no man. To catch that joke, you would have had to listen to the previous episode. Right? But and the other thing is, if the first interaction that we have is that you're trying to sell me something, mm-hmm. Yeah, disconnected again, because yeah. It's not a mutually benefit. It needs to be, to your point when we were talking earlier, Tristan, it's almost like a barter. Networking should not be a one-sided situation. It should be where both right. people are exchanging our ideas, that are building connections, that are, you know, it's mutually beneficial. It's not a one-sided mm-hmm. thing. So what's interesting is that there was a study done by the European Business School INSEAD, and they did a poll of over 100 people who were recently promoted, right? And mm-hmm. looking at whether networking and the way that they networked was the biggest predictor of career success. Mm. And so they identified three types of networkers. Guess what the first one was?
Introvert.
The player.
All right, Chris, roll theme music. I'm about to walk out. Let's go.
It was the player. And basically, those are the people we traditionally think of when it's networking. It's the people who really like meeting people. They're strategic yep. in their approach, you know. They're very, they like attending events, seminars, talks. It's like they're the brokers of the networking world, right? That they're in their element. And then the second one are the moderates, right? Mm-hmm. So they may not completely like networking, but they see the benefits of networking, and they're a lot more restrained than the player, right? So that's the characteristic of a moderate. They try to teeter back and forth. They see the opportunities to create those mutually beneficial relationships and to really help each other grow. And then there's the purists. That's the real networking phobe. Like mm-hmm. the person who don't like to network. It's less important to their career objectives. They're focused on developing expertise. They really don't want to be around a lot of people, you know? Tristan. Based on our conversation earlier. So, I'm teasing, but tell me, are you guys the player, the moderator, the purist?
At heart, I'm the purist. I don't want to go to the event. I don't really want to be there. I just want to be home hanging out. I'm part of it even thinking about it now. I don't even know why. But it just has to be something that really interests me. But just going out to events and then, you know what it is? I feel like it's show and tell. So you got to show up. Then people expect you to speak to them. If you don't speak to some people, then it's like you rub them the wrong way by not saying hello. Oh, Chris is over there. Like, I know he saw me. I might have never seen Chris because like, I know he saw me, but he's not coming over. He thinks he's better than everybody else. And it's just like think about like any major event where there's speakers. They always come up and they do the one thing. Protocol has been established. When you're out to these events, when you're networking, You can't walk in and be like, protocol has been established, so I don't have to talk to nobody else. Like, you got to go around, you got to talk to everybody, same conversation 10 times, you know. But then I find, like, you find the group of purists, and then we're all there, and it's like, yep, you see the guy by the fountain? Don't need to open it. He's going to sell you a peach orchid. Here in Virginia, we don't need peaches. I know, but you know what? This person away, and but that group of purists is just about it. But that's it for me. I really feel like I'm a purist. But my one question after Shalana is just this really quick: does it matter what we think we are, or what it is that they perceive us as? What? Go ahead, Chris. I'll let you go with that question.
Confucius say.
So yeah, Chris, answer that question. I want to hear.
So I would have to say a sort of probably a sliding scale between purist and moderate, but I think I force myself into the moderate by kind of giving myself I give myself like a goals or like a sort of like a standard of, look, I'm here. If I don't walk out with any business cards, I just wasted my time. So I go, you know, like I at least need to meet like, you know, 3 to 5 really good connections or people I can follow up with after this event. So I, by kind of giving myself a, I guess a goal or like a finish line end game, whatever, what have you, I sort of force myself into like, all right, I don't really want to be here, but I'm going to go do it in order to, you know, meet my goal and walk out feeling like I accomplished something and wasn't just there, you know, sitting idly.
Solana? So it's interesting because I think he's a moderate. I would agree with Chris on that because I think for me, I think most of the conversation has been revolving around with the assumption that we're talking about in person for the most part, networking, right? Where you actually have to get dressed, get in a car, drive somewhere, park, and enter a room with a group of people, right? And so that was the norm pre-COVID, right? With COVID, we went to the complete other extreme where everything was online because we were in quarantine and a lot of people were in shutdown. So now that we're in kind of like this hybrid state, let's touch just quickly about how do you network online? Like if you go, and I love the networking online, right? Because, you know, I can't, in my commute from my bed to my desktop is less than 3 minutes. If I have my coffee, I can make my face look good and I can have my fuzzy bed slippers on with my pajamas and I can still be presentable from the waist up, right? As long as I don't get up. But when I enter into an online room, how do you connect with people one-on-one? Any tips for our listening audience? How do you determine who you reach out to if you reach out to someone when you're in an online platform?
All right, so, so I do ridiculous things. So how does it go? You know, usually when you meet in person, you have a name tag and it says, I am. And then you put your name. So what I would do is do stupid things. I put board or put write your name upside down. But I look for the people within the group that looks like they kind of have that quirk to them. So if I see somebody with a funny name or, you know what, realistically, let's do it as teams. I look for people that doesn't have their real name because what ends up happening is that as parents, you sign into these PTA meetings and you're using the same computer that your kids are using. So then I go into a group and I'm like, what? That's not that person's name. Oh, they got kids too. All right. So maybe I just make that connection. That's how I do it. But, you know, that's I don't know if it's real networking.
What about you, Chris? How do you navigate the online networking once you enter into like a big webinar or a meeting with multiple people that you may not know?
So I You know, that is kind of an interesting question. So I think I sort of follow the lead of the player. So I'll insert myself into conversations, you know, based on something that is of interest or that I know I can speak on. And then, yeah, I think part of it is, you know, if somebody else says something that's really interesting, I'll say, you know, hey, I'd love to connect with you offline or what have you. A lot of it, too, is, you know, doing this podcast and to do the, I have something to say with, Sami as well. And so, she is usually the one finding a lot of the guests and inviting them on, but based on me just being in the background, listening to their conversations, a lot of times I follow up with those people afterwards, based on things they said. So, well, what I will say is I am, by the time season two rolls around, I will be much more, out there online and stuff and on LinkedIn again. I think during COVID, I slipped into the shield of, I guess, the internet or not being able to go out as kind of my excuse to not do so much networking. So I think I kind of slipped into a bit more of a purist mode. Obviously, that's only sustainable for so long. So I'm, moving back up to the moderate and hopefully a online player soon.
What's interesting is that speaking about LinkedIn, right, and making connections, my strategy on LinkedIn and in person, whether I'm in a in-person networking event, is I'm very strategic with who I connect with, right? I observe, right? I tell people I gotta sense energy. for those of us who are like in that sport, I gotta sense the energy. I gotta, and then once I connect with that person, I did it in person. I would invite them out for coffee. I say, hey, let's go to Starbucks and grab a cup of coffee, right? And so when I was in that 11 months of job transition, I boosted my connections on LinkedIn, because remember, that's my primary way of staying in touch with people, by over 200 connections. And each of those 200 connections, I had had coffee with them.
Wow.
I had met them. I had had conversations with them, right? So transition
Shalanda,
now
I think we need to talk about your caffeine addiction.
Just kidding. Listen, don't touch my caffeine addiction.
I'm sitting here with my cup here, so don't worry.
that is an off-limit conversation.
I'm projecting my insecurities on you. So.
This is a horrible network.
But then you take that strategy into the online platform. Like during COVID, I think I connected with just about the same amount of people during COVID.
Wow.
Yeah, because let me give you an example. A lot of people were doing a lot of things online to keep people, you know, engaged and stimulated. And you know Kelly Burton, Chris. Yep. She's a good friend of ours from out of Atlanta. She used to do Mondays with Kelly.
Yep.
Right. And so when it started, it may have been about 20. By the time it was done, it was a couple hundred people that would be going on. And like you, I would follow the player. I watch the chat room, and if somebody is saying something that like resonated with me, I would respond to that person. But after a while, there were a couple of us that were continuously going to this Mondays with Kelly. And one person that I connected with is Nancy out of Canada. I have never met Nancy in person. Nancy and I have had coffee together virtually many times. I have done videos. Yeah, I have done videos to help her promote her business. She's given me advice about my business. Never met in person. Never met in person. So I share those two examples with everyone to say this as we get ready to wrap up. Networking really is about niche working. It's about figuring out the space or the niche that really aligns with your value roles and expectations and what it is that you're hoping to accomplish when you network, right? But it's also about your niche as an individual networker. What are you comfortable with, and how do you develop strategies that honor your authenticity so you can show up in those spaces as authentic as possible? You know?
Yep.
So as we wrap up, any last thoughts, my brothers. Tristan, I see your face.
Well, I just want to shout out Nancy in Canada. Shalana has no friends from elementary, but you made it, girl. Welcome to the
Nancy,
network.
My girl, I love her. Leadership. Seed leadership. She's amazing. So maybe we'll have Nancy come on the show. Yeah.
I'm what all for you, it. Chris? But in all seriousness, I'm sorry. In all real seriousness, real quick, it's just that, just think about it. It could be anybody, like we were saying, I believe we said sometime before, it doesn't have to be monetary. Mm-hmm. Once you make that connection, they're automatically a part of your network. And that's just it. Just keep growing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. What about you, Chris?
I think kind of just the thing that stuck with me was about with the online networking and having to do that, you know, since COVID was we talked about it in the previous episode, but about kind of like your local network, or, you know, starting with the people that, you know, Uncle Chris or what have you. And I think during COVID, I ended up actually reconnecting with a lot of people that I had known previously and in deeper ways, or you know, more consistent ways than I had in years, you know, pre-COVID. And through those, I was able to make some other leads or unexpected, you know, they were even personal ones, you know, friends from high school and everything, and then finding out what they're doing. And that actually turned into some opportunities. So it allowed me to kind of like go back to my my inner network, and then kind of build out to newer, you know, warm leads from there. So,
right.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, guys, we just gave you a crash course on networking in person and online. And part of your networking strategy is to tune into the Entrepreneur's Trip, because we are here for you. We are part of your network. We are part of your social capital. So with that, we thank you for joining us and listening to this podcast. And please remember to tune in to the next podcast next week, Tuesday. We'll see you guys.
See you later.
Take care. Thank you for taking this trip with us. We hope you had a great time. Join us every Tuesday for another dose of XTC. And don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and visit us at theentrepreneurstrip.com for more entrepreneurship tips and tricks. See you next time.